6 of St. Luke's Gospel, and a lot of the Bible's a bit difficult going, people have a lot of trouble with it, but I intend to find with the actual story of Jesus himself in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John is always very interesting. It's clear, it's stimulating, some of it is quite amazing. They're talking about Jesus Christ, who is God and man. So we'll start today with the Our Father, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Yes, and we dedicate the program, as you do every week, listeners, to people who suffer. A lot of people suffer a lot. As I'm getting older, I visit hospitals a lot. A lot of people I know are dying. And they're very, very sick. And they just love you coming and saying hello and talking to them and being friendly to them. And that's our role as Christians. We must help people in their difficult times. And hopefully when our turn comes and it's difficult, that people will help us. And yes, I'm always impressed with that background song now, a Russian song that, about the 12 robbers. And one of the robbers, he becomes a Christian. A monk, he converts, leaves his evil way of life and takes a good way of life. Very apt for what we're talking about today, for Jesus. For Jesus, he is calling us to holiness and to be good. So we now read from chapter 6 of St. Luke's Gospel. And it came to pass the first Sabbath, that as he went through the cornfields, his disciples plucked the ears of corn, and they did eat them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, "Why do you do that which is not lawful on the Sabbath day?" And Jesus answering them said, "Have you not read so much as this what David did, when he himself was hungry, and they were with him? How he went into the house of God, and took and ate of the bread of proposition, and gave to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat, but only for the priests. And he said to them, The Son of Man is Lord also, even of the Sabbath itself." And it came to pass also on the other Sabbath that he entered in the synagogue and taught. and there was a man whose right hand was with it. Yes, listen, just going back to what we just read just now. When the apostles were walking through the field and took corn and rubbed it together and ate it, they were allowed to legally, because Israel was God's land. No land belonged to any person in particular. It belonged to God. Some people had the use of it. Therefore, anybody could go into a field of grapes or corn and take a little bit and eat for himself, but couldn't take any out, just what he could, what he wanted to eat there. And the Pharisees were very strict. They said to the apostles, in rubbing the corn in their hands together and eating it, that that was work, and you weren't allowed to work on the Sabbath. Quite ridiculous, but nevertheless, and eventually, that's why they killed Jesus, for something simple like that. As they say, he worked on the Sabbath, he worked a miracle on the Sabbath, this kind of thing. And they learned to hate him. So we're going with Luke's story now. And the scribes and Pharisees, they watched if he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man who had the withered hand, "Arise and stand forth in the middle." And rising, he stood forth. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, if it is lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy life?" And looking around upon them all, he said to the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he stretched it forth, and his hand was restored. And they were filled with madness, and they talked one to another what they might do to Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray, and he passed the whole night in prayer to God. And when the day was come, he called unto him his disciples, and he chose 12 of them, whom also he named apostles. Firstly, Simon, whom he surnamed Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who's called Zelotes, and Jude, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, who was the traitor. And coming down with them, he stood in a plain place, and was company of his disciples, and a very great multitude of people from all over Judea and Jerusalem, the sea coast, both of Tyre and of Sidon, who were come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the multitude sought to touch him, for virtue, which is strength, went out from him and healed all. And he, lifting up his eyes of his disciples, he said, "Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed shall you be when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you, and shall reproach you, and cast you out in the name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Be glad in that day, and rejoice, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For according to these things did their fathers to the prophets. But woe, woe to you that are rich, for you have your consolation now. Woe to you that are filled, for you shall hunger. Woe to you that now laugh, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when men shall bless you, and accord of these things they did their father and all the false prophets. But I say to you that here, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray to them that calumniate you. And who him that striketh thee on one cheek, offer also the other cheek. And him that taketh away from thee thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. Give to everyone that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not to be returned. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them in like manner. And if you love them that love you, what thanks is there for you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you lend to them to whom you hope to receive, what thanks are due to you? For sinners also lend to sinners, and to receive as much. But love ye your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the son of the Most High God, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be you therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give you into your bosom. For with the same measure that you shall mete out to others, it shall be measured out to you again. And he spoke also to them a similitude. Can the blind lead the blind? Do they both not fall in a ditch together? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone shall be perfect if he be as his master. And why seest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but the beam that is in your own eye you consider not? Or how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull the mote out of thy eye, when thou thyself seest not the beam in thy own eye? Hypocrite, cast first the beam out of thy own eye, and then take out the little mote from your brother's eye. For there is no good tree that bringeth forth evil fruit, nor an evil tree that bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor from brambles bushes do they gather grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of thy heart thy mouth shall speak. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I ask you? Everyone that cometh to me and heareth my words and doth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who diggeth deep and laid the foundation upon a rock. When a flood came, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. But he that heareth and doth not is like a man building his house upon the earth without any foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and ruin of that house was so great. Well, listeners, this is just an example of a chapter out of the life of Jesus Christ, written by St. Luke, and then the main source of all the writings of St. Luke was Our Lady herself, and also the Gospel already written 2 or 3 years earlier, the Gospel of St. Matthew. Because St. Matthew, he wrote the first Gospel ever written, about 7 years after the death of Jesus Christ, around about the year 40 AD. And Matthew wrote the Gospel in Hebrew, and then was later translated into Greek. And I find that in the Bible, the things I love the most is the reading of those four Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. Because, listeners, they are written simply and clearly. They're beautiful in themselves, like you hear today, listeners. Lovely thoughts. Why do you call me Lord and Lord, and do the things which I say not? For there's no good tree that bringeth forth evil fruit, nor evil tree that bring forth good fruit. Or blessed are the poor, listeners, if for the poor they shall inherit the land. The humble and the meek, listeners. Beautiful, beautiful thoughts and beautiful words. These Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they're stimulating, are full of learning and of wisdom, and they tell us the greatest love story that's ever been told, that God became a man and died for us to open again the gates of heaven and save us. The Almighty, the infinite God, who made the universe, how God saves the lost. Tells us how Adam and Eve, they fell in the garden, and that all men were lost. nobody ever again could enter into heaven. And it's immediately a promise was made by God himself that through a woman and the seed of a woman that we would once again be saved. The promise has been made of our redemption there in page 3 of the Bible. God is to be a man. He's to be Emmanuel. God's with us. Through a woman, through a virgin, the woman and her seed. And also it's prophesied that a sword would pierce the woman's heart. Yes, you would have to see her son die on a cross. And she had to will the death of her son. Brutal. My late wife, a mother, always it hurt her that our lady loved us so much that she had to will the death of her own son. To a mother and a woman, it is brutal. It is brutal, listeners, but it is beautiful because it portrays the love of God. Yes, how terrible was that death of the Messiah, of God himself, for our sake. So great is the love of God. And God loves, listeners, one man as he loves all men together. If only one man was ever created, God himself would have died for that one man. So great is the love of God. So there we have, listeners, the sword pierced the heart of the woman, Mary's heart. So two hearts were pierced, listeners. That's why the blood of the Sacred Heart, one of the images that the Catholic Church uses, and one of the paintings we have in our homes of the two hearts, of Mary's heart pierced by a sword, as the prophet Simeon says it would be when Jesus was 40 days old. And the heart of Jesus himself, when it was pierced on the cross and outgushed blood and water. No blood left in his own body, his blood and water was left, as showing us the love of God. And yet, listeners, Jesus Christ is hated, whereas he ought to be loved. He was hated unto death. On little things like that Sabbath, listeners, where his apostles just ate in a cornfield, a little bit of corn. They were allowed to eat it, but it was said to them that they were working on the Sabbath. They weren't allowed to work on the Sabbath with the Jewish law, that interpretation of those men, the Pharisees. And therefore, Jesus ended up being actually killed for little things like that. And yet, listeners, he was God himself, God-man, who went on to form a church. We just read there how the 12 apostles were the basis of that church, Peter and John. And he formed a church, the Roman Catholic Church, listeners, to save and to be the main vehicle of salvation for the whole human race. It is Catholic, listeners, and Catholic means for everybody. Everybody ever born is welcomed into the Catholic Church. How you become a Catholic is through baptism, listeners, with the most common element in the world, water. And anybody can baptize. You don't have to be a Catholic to baptize a Catholic. Anybody with the intention of baptizing somebody into the Catholic Church by taking water and pouring over them and saying, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. The person baptized is then a Roman Catholic, listeners, a member of Christ's kingdom, and now a son of God, an adopted son of God, and with a right to heaven, the right of a son to heaven. So the main vehicle of salvation is the Catholic Church and its sacraments, listeners, the Mass, and through baptism, how we become a Catholic, and through confession, listeners, the beauty of confession. Many people, not understanding, laugh at confession. They think it's a bit whoppy. Is it whoppy, listeners, that God forgives us our sin, and that he forgives us through a man? Through his blood on the cross, he earned the right to forgive sin, and he gave that right to his church to administer. So yes, I go to confession every week, listeners. Confess my sins, sometimes little sins, sometimes bigger sins, listeners. But I love confession. I love the priest who has the power to forgive me my sins. Only a priest can forgive sins, listeners. And that's why Jesus gave us the priesthood to say Mass and forgive our sins. And the church has the mighty power of binding and loosening. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, said Jesus Christ, the God-man, that is loosed on heaven. So Luke, he knew Our Lady, And he was the main mouthpiece of Our Lady. And so he tells us how God himself became a man in the Annunciation. And that what I often read it last week, listeners, in the program, how the angel came to Mary, will you be the mother of God? Yes. And the very words that God himself used to ask her, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. That is our constant prayer, the prayer of God, asking the woman to be the mother of God. It's what we sing, what we pray, our rosary, our Hail Marys. Those are the beauty of our prayers, celebrating always the fact that God himself became a man and died on a cross to save us. And he formed a church. And the church was for the Gentiles, especially listeners, that's us. The Jews were very narrow in the Old Testament. We're not very welcoming to other peoples. But the Catholic Church welcomes everybody. Everybody has a right to be a Catholic because it is the church of God himself. And Catholic means for everyone. And he said in his last will and testament to his church, All power is given to me on heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, and teach them all the things I have commanded. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the end of the world. The gates of hell will never win against you. And yes, listeners, when you look at the Catholic Church and you see our present Pope, that's lovely. But listeners, there were 265 popes before him. All the time since Jesus Christ, there's right down from Peter, there's been a Pope representing Jesus Christ and showing the will of God and what it is in the world and keeping pure the religion of God so that no error creeps in. Satan is always attacking the church. He hates the church. And he's always with every kind of trick you can imagine. Satan is trying, tempting the church people sexually, everything, every trick, every dirty trick, listeners, lies, harm, truth, everything. But the Catholic Church is told, we're told, will be there till the end of time, to rule forever under Jesus Christ and under Our Lady. For it is the church of God, not of man, and he is guaranteed his presence. And the ones who tell us about it is Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. It's not confusing, listeners. It is edifying. And so we think of the first gospel of St. Matthew, who in the year 40, he wrote it, and wrote it for the whole world. So greatly did he do that Mark and Luke, who wrote two of the other four gospels, they copied him in a lot of places with that gospel. So Matthew was good with words. He was a tax collector. He would have been an accountant. And accountants are pretty slick with figures and pretty slick with words. But Jesus left a problem with Matthew. He said to all the apostles, If you love me, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. Listeners, how do you like that? If you want to be a Catholic, a great Catholic, yes, go sell everything you've got and give it to the poor. So Matthew did this, and Peter, all the 12 apostles did that, listeners, sold everything they had and gave it to the poor and came and followed Jesus Christ. And all of them were killed for this, listeners, the 12 apostles, all killed. So Matthew knew Our Lady very well, and he was an eyewitness to all the miracles of Jesus and heard all the teachings, saw all the devils being cast out by Jesus Christ every day in every village. And then he saw him after he died to rise from the dead in the resurrection, proving the divinity of Jesus Christ, that he is man. They knew he was a man because they touched him and ate with him, and they knew he was God from what he did. So this gospel is the basis of all the gospels. He was a tax collector at the lake. He looks like he knew St. Joseph, he knew the Holy Family, gave up all his wealth to follow Jesus Christ. And Luke, likewise, who wrote the great gospel, he was a Greek, and he was a disciple from the city of Antioch. And he was a many dangerous travels he had following St. Paul. So he never speaks about them himself, but we can tell from where he'd been and what he did. They tried to kill Paul repeatedly, and there he was. Luke was always with St. Paul and was in Rome with him. And Paul died in Rome. And he was in the East in there with St. Paul and the other apostles. He was a doctor. He was an evangelist who wrote this famous gospel. He was a painter who painted a beautiful image of the baby Jesus and Our Lady. And he was followed as his main source, St. Matthew and Our Lady. And it's only in St. Luke's gospel where we have about the Annunciation, how God himself became a man. And there we have, and this gospel is a gospel of mercy, because there are many women mentioned in this gospel. And the Widow of Nain, how since you had a son returned to life. And the beautiful miracles and gentleness in the gospel of St. Luke. He didn't have the harsher facet of the Jewish religion, the true religion, but he had the gentler Greek facet of being a doctor. He was always trying to cure people and make them healthy. He's the one who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, the early history of the Roman Catholic Church, the beautiful history of St. Peter and of St. Paul. And he was he witnessed the stunning growth from day one, 3,000 joined, and to 5,000, to 10,000, to 20,000, to 100,000 listeners. He saw all this and the growth pains of the church and how the apostles were killed in doing this. And it was St. Luke who told us all these things. And what we just saw in a little wee facet of it, we saw in chapter 6 of St. Luke's Gospel, we see how Jesus Christ himself, how he cured the man with a paralyzed hand, and how he prayed all night, how he chose the 12 apostles, listeners, and Peter is now the apostles, how he cured the sick and he drove out demons, how he listened to people in them, and they were surrounded all the time by huge crowds. He would cure morning, night, and he would always be curing. So he went to a village, the whole village and surrounding villages came and brought their sick and their dying to him. He cured them all, listeners. You cannot visualize every person who came to him. This village he cured, the next village, the villages tomorrow, the villages next week, everywhere he went in Galilee, listeners. No wonder the church flourished after his death, because there was so much goodwill to he, the Messiah, who cured everybody. They said, if the Messiah came, could he do any more than this man Jesus Christ does? He acts like he is God. Indeed, listeners. Everybody wanted to touch him. Yes, and he blessed the poor, and he says, the blessed are the poor. He says, woe to the rich. The rich must be very, very careful that they don't make riches their God. And he said, be merciful, and be meek, and humble, and judge not. And forgive, and if you forgive, therefore you are forgiven. If you give, Jesus Christ says, you will receive. And a good tree always brings forth good fruit, and a bad tree brings forth bad fruit. Because it's impossible for a good tree to bring forth bad fruit. It's impossible for a bad tree to bring forth good fruit. Beautiful words, listeners, meek and humblest, and they will bear fruit. And if I am Lord, Jesus Christ says, therefore do as I say. If you call me Lord, and you call me God, do what I say. You must obey me if you love me. And if you build a house on a good foundation, it'll survive the storms. And the Catholic Church, listeners, was built on a good foundation, on the foundation of Jesus Christ himself, and on the apostles who gave their life and their lifeblood. Jesus gave his lifeblood. The apostles gave their lifeblood for this great truth of the Catholic Church. It's the truth that there's one God, and that God himself became a man and died on a cross to save us, that he loved us so much, that he saved us. And he gives us confession to have our sins forgiven. He gives us the Mass. So we eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And that is the only food, our spiritual food. Listen, there's nowhere else in the world is there spiritual food, much physical food. Thank you very much, listeners. I hope you enjoyed the program. I hope to speak to you next week. Good afternoon, and God bless you. This is the Vic.